doesn't know, do not know us, I'm Rudy, and this is my lovely wife, Michelle. So we're having this series of marriage and parenting classes, and we already had two. We have first had Tim and the Dannett clan, and they presented themselves as, dare I say, the model family.
Oh, wow.
Right, so they became Christians when they were at university. They fell in love, got married, stayed faithful, had kids. They were a model, I would say a model Christian family.
Yeah.
Kids in the church, brought up in the church. They became Christians. Yeah. They're still Christians. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Then we had the Mays, Angela and Albert, and they became Christians when they were in their 30s. So they were in a different stage of life when they became Christians. They already had children. I think Tito and Jonas probably can relate in that area. And then we are really different.
Right?
I don't think there's anybody that quite matches up to what we've been up to.
You're jealous.
Don't ask. So I became a Christian in 91 when I was a university student. Giselle became a Christian in 93, and then she was already married at that stage, and Heinrich was just born. So everybody knows Heinrich, that's the big fella closest to the camera. And so I went on finishing my university, I went to work, I dated a little bit here and there, but then Giselle had a different route. She and her husband, they split up. He left the family for another woman. And so Giselle and the three kids, by that time they were three already, they were on their own. Giselle was faithful through all this,
man,
this time.
On,
she
Giselle.
Did a great job with the kids, raising them on her own with great help from
that's
her parents.
The model,
and her child, that's it in the back there.
Oh.
Anyway, so we started getting to know each other. I was a complete bachelor, entirely, and I was warming up to the idea of getting married maybe one day, but the idea of getting kids, I was never so certain. I mean, it's just a weird thing. I mean, being in the church, I was in the children's classes and so on, and I really loved the kids in church, but I was never sure whether I maybe the right kind of person to have kids. Maybe I should save the world from having kids. So, be it as it may, I met Giselle, and we fell in love. But the kids was initially, if I looked at the situation with my left brain, I thought, but this is not going to work. They are kids. There are three of them, right? And it's somebody else's kids. And my right brain had a different take on it. And for whatever reason, the kids made our relationship even more special. Anyway, so we got married eventually in end of 2005.
Wow.
February 2006, we immigrated here.
Mm-hmm.
So just over a month after we got we were married, we arrived in the UK to start our new life here. Mm-hmm. A new family, new life, new job, new country, new everything. Just
incredible.
Just about everything, every major change.
Yeah.
When they say, what are the major changes that you can do to yourself? Getting married, moving, new job. Well, we threw in moving countries. Oh, and continents.
And
so we were just in a completely different situation.
Amazing.
So that's our background. And so there it's the Havenga-Koorts family. Mm-hmm. My surname is Havenga. The Zal's previous husband's surname is Koorts. And So her kids have the surname Kurtz. And so we are a classic combined family. And so I actually entitled the talk, God in Chaos. I thought maybe that's a little bit heavy. That's a bit heavy. So I just wanted to present, our lovely family in front of you. This was in front of the Louvre three and a half years ago. So the background, and that roughly shows you where we got together and how we were, put together as a family. By God, we believe. I mean, it's a crazy combination, but we believe that it's from God. We prayed like crazy about it. And And especially in initial stages. So the initial stages was interesting, to put it mildly. I think all these different changes we had to adapt to was really rough. I don't think we had an inkling of how tough it is to just have an instant family, just being uprooted and planted in a completely different environment. But so initially, I would say it was fairly chaotic. I think the first 2, 3, maybe 4, maybe 5, maybe 10 years were just felt like, you know, you're just not touching the ground. And it felt like we are just kind of surviving. You know, in that time, if somebody asked me, so spiritually, bro, what are you learning? What are you growing in? I'm like, man, I'm coming to church, I'm reading my Bible, what more do you want? I'm still married. It was pretty difficult, but thinking about it now back, as we sort of relayed this little story, we thought, well, you know what, we actually learned a great deal, an enormous amount. Yeah. I was a complete bachelor, and I'm an engineer, you know, so feel sorry for this girl she's got an amazing EQ. I have not understood that concept until I met her. She's great with people. My aptitude tests, they said, do any career as long as you don't work with people. We are completely different in so many areas. And so my job as an engineer is made it very much to figure out what's wrong with a project. Because if I don't figure out what's wrong with a project, people will get killed on a chemical plant. It's unfocused on figuring out what needs to be fixed. And I think initially that's how I approached the family. Here they are. This doesn't look right. This doesn't look right. So let's try and fix this and organize them. And I think what I've learned, took a while, is that I was trying to forge them into little mini versions of myself. Right? It did not work particularly well. So in that time, it was a very stressful time for Lizelle, because she's been living with these 3 kids from birth. She knows them, understands them, has an amazing relationship with them, where they really talk on a deep level. And I'm just there coming in, and I'm going to sort those things out, and things are going to be my way or the highway, etc. And so I really had to learn what it means to getting to know them, to understand them, to meet their needs, and not just trying to fix and shape the situation to suit me. Maybe I should go to the place where the notes are, otherwise I'll be talking about one thing with all my Right, so Lizelle, did you want to mention what you felt challenging in that time?
Yeah, no, it was really challenging. I mean, just moving here, standing in Tesco, looking at the fabric softeners, I was like, what do I buy? Then I have the 3 kids running around me, and I'm just like, I just need to concentrate. So it was really intense, you know, learning to how the community works, how the schools work, how church was different, everything was different. And I think for me in that time, it was very hard to see how Rudy interacted with the kids sometimes, you know, a bit harsh, and, you know, it was hard because of the background. And I knew the kids have had a lot of hurt in their lives, you know, so it just really forced me to rely on God so much. I had to pray, I had to have a lot of faith, and also before we got married, I prayed a lot so that God would make it really clear, should we do this? So because I saw other people getting married and being really regretful afterwards, and I never wanted to be in that situation. And that always helped me. The prayers I prayed before we got married and the way that God worked everything out always helped me and encouraged me when we were in a time when things were a bit rough, you know, and chaotic. I always thought, I am where God has put me, and that's enough. It's fine. Amen. We will make it. You know, this is just the initial stages. God is amazing. So
yeah, that's right. And I think something else that I, in the initial stages as well, just my interaction with the kids not being great. They, I think, in many ways, sort of try to pull away, to try to protect themselves. I saw that as them not wanting my input and involvement in their life. So over the first few years, it was a lot of resentment that built up. And I believe with them as well, but definitely with me. And it was amazing how much tension that created for Lizelle. Because here she is right in the middle of all this. And we still remember exactly that moment. We confronted this little this little beast. And it was amazing how Lizelle just did it. And she just took me through the kids' perspectives. How they view me. How they see me. How they have accepted me as their dad. How they don't talk to their friends about their stepdad. You know, and how they really want me in their lives. You know, and you know, we have lots of misunderstanding and miscommunication. And it was, you know, weirdly, with a bit of thought, for somebody that's been a disciple for so long, that this must be so obvious. But it was as if a light went on. I'm like, I can't believe it. I've been such a complete idiot, you know. And I think things improved from that point. I mean, it's going to be hard work until, you know, maybe forever, because we are just so different. Tim helped us understand that, you know, because we do not have the same genetic makeup. We're not predisposed to understand and to talk in the same wavelength. I mean, we find it difficult enough to figure out and understand our own kids, but somebody else's kids, it's so much more difficult, especially if you're in the same household and you've got authority you want to exert, they've got their will they want to exert. I mean, that's just, it makes for a lot of conflict. And I guess I can say conflict is something that we've had just from the start, and I guess still, for many reasons, because of the complexity of our family, but also the difference in our personalities, none of those kids really relate to me, and or I am to them. They are so different from me, and Nazelle. So we've really had to learn to consider one another, to just lay down your own expectations and your own will, and not trying to force your will, your way of doing things. So that was a big lesson to learn, you know, that resentment. That resentment is an absolute killer. It completely chokes the life out of anybody that has that. Mm. So, after that intensely long introduction, I wanted us to focus on this scripture, because I was thinking, what am I trying to say here? What's a message that I want in this I want to bring across? And if I look at this scripture, it says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, mountains fall into the heart of the sea, those waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. You know, and our lives can often be like this, and I didn't want to be doom and gloom, but I thought this is something that we really want to share with you, because we've had a lot of turmoil. A lot of times when the waves are surging, you know, it feels like the land is sliding into the depths of the ocean, you know, is there hope? Is there hope? You know, so we want to use this opportunity to say, I think we all have some measure of chaos and trouble in their lives. You know, hopefully not as hectic as ours. And what I want us to say is that the answer is always with God. That God has got to be the focus. It's got to be the anchor point. And I know it's easy to say that. We hear that. We kind of know it. But on a gut level, practical level, when you're right in the midst of it and the waves are standing high around you, you know, we need to hold on to God and trust Him. He's going to get us through this. Because sometimes it doesn't feel like it's going to be better. Sometimes it just doesn't feel like there's much hope. Right, so therefore, I chose that as a background for our little talk. So the chaotic early years, we've essentially spoke through already. And so I'm going to hand over to Lizelle to start this section about what we've learned in our marriage specifically, in our interaction personally. So off you go, lovey.
Come on, Lizelle. I think one of the biggest things that helped us a lot was spending time together, but not just together as a couple, together with other couples that could give us input, like Tim and Shelley. They were a great help to us, and Tim was the one that one night we were sitting and we were both, like, you know, in conflict with each other, and we had issues, and Tim was just like, you know, the issues, there'll always be issues. When last have you spent time together? We were like, No, we don't. We can't remember. And he just kept asking us that week after week. You know, it was a few months. Then we got what he was saying. And we started spending time as a couple. We got a date night jar. And both of us put some things in. Some things we can read out in public. Some we can't. We tried to make it fun. Rudy is amazing with it. He will, every second Thursday, he will say, okay, what are we doing tonight? You know, and we'll go out for a movie or do something from the job. So that was really great because those times we could connect emotionally. And that made us realize why we got married. We actually liked each other. We realized we do like each other. We have things in common. Although we are very different, we have things in common. And we can laugh together, not talk about the kids, get away from the responsibilities. So that was really a big thing. And also getting help, you know, getting a lot of input from other couples. And also spending time as a family. It was, a lot of Sunday nights, we would all be like, oh, it's school tomorrow, it's work tomorrow, oh, it's housework tomorrow. You know, we would have Sunday blues, and we decided, Rudy suggested, let's have a family night on a Sunday, and let's make it fun, let's, you know, turn this negative into a positive. So every Sunday, we would look forward to that time together as a family, and, you know, so that was really great. Other lessons that I've learned in my communication with Rudy was, I think when I get emotional, it's very hard for me to hear what he says and what he means. I look at his facial expressions and I'm like, no, he doesn't mean that. His body language isn't right. He can't be sincere. And then I judge him on that. And I had to realize that that's it. I made a decision that the words he says, that is what I will believe. I won't judge his, you know, how he approaches me or this or that. So that really helped me. Another thing was not to talk to him when I felt upset about a certain situation. I had to wait until I could speak to him without feeling emotional, you know, whether it be crying or shouting or whatever it might be. I had to pray and really think about the situation and think, what is it that upset me? Was it, did I feel rejected when he did this? Did I feel, you know, whatever I felt. And then that, it just helped me to really trust God to show me what it was that was upsetting me so that I don't, you know, so that I don't accuse him of things. And then another thing was to tell him how I feel and not what he's doing. And that we actually, it was one night we were standing in the kitchen and we were like, oh my goodness, how did we get here again? You know, and we realized we were both thinking about back to when I had cancer. We were really close. It was actually a prayer I prayed before I fell ill and, you know, I fell ill and then we really became very close in that time. I had to compose myself the whole day, you know, dealing with the kids and being okay so that they don't worry about me. But at night, when I got to the room, I was like, close the door and I would cry and be just really vulnerable with him. So he always knew exactly how I felt. And then we realized, standing in the kitchen thinking, how did we get here again? That was the thing that we learned there, that we left there. Eventually, we fell back into our old ways. And I didn't tell him how I feel. I would say, like for instance, one evening, I would just say what he did wrong. So one evening, just to give you an example how different it can be, we were sitting in bed, and I always feel like that's the time we should connect, you know, talk or whatever. And he grabbed his book, he was reading his book, and I was like, I feel a bit neglected here. I need to speak to my husband, you know, I want him to give some attention to me. And I think before I would just fall victim to those emotions, and that night I was just really vulnerable and I said, honey, I feel a bit neglected. And in one move, he was up and he had his arm around me. And it's so different. I invited him in to be my hero. to be the hero of the situation, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't say, well, you're just neglecting me and you don't love me anymore. And, you know, then you would have felt accused. But by being vulnerable and saying to him that I feel neglected, he could act on what I said.
Yeah, so that helped a lot, because if she's, Lizelle has a tendency, or had, I think it's all changed now, but if she was upset or worked up, and she would sort of retreat almost into herself and either give me the cold shoulder, well, that normally happens, and then after a while I'm like, okay, something's definitely wrong. I mean, I'm not that light. I can pick up some signals. And then I'm like, so what's wrong? And sometimes it takes a while. And then when it comes out, it really comes in a flood. But it comes out like, you did this, or you didn't do that. Or, I can't understand why you would behave in this way. And I'm like, where does this come from? And I think that night I explained to her, you know what, when you come to me in that mode, you put me on the defense. There's nothing I can do about it. That is a natural response. I'm going to be fighting you back, baby. Believe me. Right? So, and then in that kitchen, we had this discussion. I said, that's what you do to me when you do that. If you come to me and say, this is the way this is where I'm hurting, then I'm like, absolutely. I don't want to see you hurt. I'm hurting more when you hurt, you know? Because that's what we saw when she went through her health struggles. You know, I just could start feeling her pain, and I really wanted to be there in every way to support her. Anyway, I'm yakking again. There you go.
The other thing that helped me a lot was to assume the best of Rudy. And my mom helped me so much because, you know, we feel our thoughts. Just think about that. If he treats me a certain way and I perceive it as he doesn't love me, oh my goodness, he doesn't love me, then I'll start reacting as if he doesn't love me. And I was sitting down with my mom and we were having this discussion. And she said to me, Lizelle, looking at the two of you, I can assure you that Rudy really loves you. And that just helped me to think, okay, if she can see it, then, you know, it must be true. So it helped me to assume the best of him and to go into a situation on a positive note and not negative.
Sorry, I realize now that I actually made some, had all these things that I forgot. Right, yeah, for this one.
Yeah, expectations. Sometimes us ladies, we can get a bit, what's the word, needy. And I felt that in my life. I felt like, I feel like I want him to hug me all the time, or I just feel like different to what I feel other days. And it was like I was expecting him to make me happy, to fulfill every need I have, and to, you know, it just didn't feel right, but I didn't quite understand what was happening. And eventually I just thought about this and I prayed about this and I realized that, where's the scriptures?
Oh, there they are.
Okay. If we read this, then I'll tell you what.
The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Should we just read all of them?
Yeah.
It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me.
Amen.
And then my flesh and my heart may fail, and mine, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
I realize that the times when I feel needy is the times when my quiet times are lacking. I'm not getting my portion from God. I'm not fulfilled with God, and then I expect more from my husband, you know. And it's so unfair to put that pressure on him. But that really helped me to just realize that God needs to come first in my life. I can't, you know, look at him to fulfill those needs. Yeah.
You done?
That's
right, now I get a chance. Leadership. Let me talk to the brothers. Right, so let me just see. So, you know, the Bible very clearly gives the responsibility to the husband to lead the family.
Amen.
You know, it's not a right, it's a responsibility. The husband has been placed in that role, and it's really, really important to have a healthy view of that. And something that, you know, that I've read that really helps me to just to get a good picture of this. You know, what happens when the husband does not lead? Just listen to this. It says here they. I can't find him. Okay, so but when a wife lives in a leadership void, she will feel constantly pulled into the position of filling it. As she leads her husband, not only does her respect for him weaken, he tends to cower and become even more passive over time. She can be brilliant and strong, but both of them will feel resentment towards each other and less secure together. You know, it's just one of those things that it is a blessing for a wife to have a husband that leads in a strong, godly way. And we have to understand how important that is. And it does not mean that the wife dominates the wife. We've got to get that picture out of our mind. That is the world's view of leadership. That is not what this is talking about. God's picture of leadership is where the strong sacrifices for the weak. Yeah. Right? The intelligent is the one that that's humble towards the lowly. And it's very, very important that we understand that. And so and this is what's great. It says, that's why we can say that when the Bible is, that's not the point. Okay. Alright, that's it. So, we can say that when the Bible establishes men as the leaders of their homes, it is in no way a devaluation of women. Our leadership is intended to bless and honor our wives in the highest possible way. When we do so, it brings them great joy and confidence in who they are and helps them exercise their God-given skills, grace, and beauty with generous freedom. I think that's an important thing, is that we brothers, we need to serve our wives by being the leaders of our families, of our household, because that sets our wives free to do what they are really great at. You know, in their relationships and the way that they deal with the kids and all the facets of their lives. And I think that is very important. So the one area of leadership I would like us to quickly look at is in 1 Peter 3, verse 7. And it says here, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. You know, it's our responsibility to be considerate towards our wives. And I've thought a lot about this scripture. To me, it is an active consideration. It's not just you walk around, it's like, oh, okay, so you've got a need, okay, great, and here you go. I think it's considerate. Some of the other translations talk about live with understanding. You know, think about it, brothers. How well do you know your wife? I mean, I've had this whole story. I've already explained how difficult it was for me to understand my wife. But Giselle, she won't mind me saying this, but she does suffer from depression. And she really manages it very well. But there are times when she's having really a bad time. Initially, I had no idea what was going on or how to behave. I took everything so personally. But I really, really had to work so hard to understand who is this enigma. That just, one day she can be this way, and then really, other days she can be completely different. And I had to learn, how do I serve my wife? How am I considerate to her in whatever her needs may be? And it really takes a lot of effort. We need to intentionally, be considerate towards our wives. And so, as a man, as a husband, one of the most important ways that we need to serve and lead our wives is in listening to them. Making time to listen. You know, brothers, I don't know if you're anything like me, there are many times when I do not want to have the talk. But I'd rather just want to sit and watch TV or just read my book before I fall asleep in bed. But that is selfish. And what I've learned is that, most of our issues are born out of selfishness and pride. And I'm talking about the brothers here. And so if we focus on helping our wives through their issues, with their needs, most of our issues disappear. Because that's how God designed us. To be the strong person, to be be the one that deny ourselves. When I'm feeling emotionally charged and Azel's feeling emotionally charged, it's my responsibility to forget about myself, put myself one side, and help my wife through whatever she's struggling with. And then once that happens, she's feeling encouraged, she feels loved, she feels listened to and acknowledged, and then she will say, so honey, how can I help you? And that's the way it should work, that way around. First the husband serves, and then the woman, then the wife will help. And in that way we can work through any situation that we face. So I thought that's going to be an important one. Did you want to share anything on that as we close? We've got about 2 minutes. Or should we just quickly move on?
No, I just think it is very important for us as wives to respect our husbands in every way. To trust them, to trust their judgment, and just to really be behind them in whatever they decide.
Amen. So parenting, there's 1.5 minutes left. Unfortunately, we suspect that's how it's going to go. So, you know, we really wanted to focus on what we have learned, because we think that is really important.
Yeah.
We think the most important thing about parenting is for the husband and wife to be strong and close together.
Yeah.
Right? And then we can deal with the kids. So if the husband and wife is not on the same page, you don't have much of a hope.
Wow.
But what I did want to say, you know, about parenting is that, you know, there is no foolproof recipe that will ensure our kids make it to heaven. All right? And that's our goal, honestly, and this is what I learned from Lizelle. I mean, she has prayed prayers where she said she prays that God takes her children to prevent them from going to hell. So what I mean by that is that if they're not going to make the decision to become the disciples, that they would rather, you know, be taken from this earth before they be held responsible for that relationship, not for that decision. And it's just Lizelle's heart, and I've learned that as well. Just that, what do we want in this life? Nothing else than our children to become disciples and go to heaven. Right? That's all we really want. I mean, nothing else matters. And so, but we don't have control over that. As much as we like to think that, I think for the longest time I thought that there's like a golden magic recipe, and if we just follow that, that guarantees our children becomes disciples and stay disciples. It's not the case. We need to rely on God so much.
Amen.
And it's His blessings. It's whether He's going to bless us with that or not, whether He's going to bless our children with the gift of eternal life or not. It's not really in our control. However, it's still our responsibility. It's almost like John talked on Sunday, you know, God is absolute love and absolute justice, you know. It's like we have to completely trust God that He's going to take care of our kids and completely do everything we can to raise them up in the way God wants us to do. So this scripture, train up your child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, you will not depart from it. It's really important. We have to impress important things on our kids. And then parenting is a task that's probably the most important thing that any of us can do, is to raise a kid. But we are so woefully unequipped. None of us have the experience when we start. None of us have done a degree course in parenting. We start and we just sort of muddle along and try and figure it out. We've got such a great resource in the church. Let's make use of it. You know, I'll just ask this question, how much input are you getting in raising your kids? This is so important. Don't just leave it to chance. We have a responsibility. So, to round it up, back to our first scripture. You know, we all face a lot of stuff in our lives, but God is faithful. Jesus said, in this life you'll have much trouble, but take heart, I have overcome it. Let's hold on to God. That's the only way. We've got to make sure in our marriages, in our families, God is the center, and we rely on Him. Thank you very much.
Amen.